So far, we know of 88 specific chemicals that have been identified.
And of those 88, how many are suspected of causing cancer?
I think the number is 11.
You could see the fear on some of their faces today as men, women, and children gathered for blood tests to determine whether those here have developed abnormalities.
I am really, really afraid. We have decided we're going to get out one way or another.
It was back in 1980, news reports told the country about a town in upstate New York where students at a school started having asthma and seizures. Their school had been built on top of a toxic waste dump. The town was Love Canal, New York. And that catastrophe led to a new federal law aimed at cleaning up toxic waste sites. It's commonly known as the Superfund. Now, nearly 40 years later, residents in Hoosick Falls, also in upstate New York, suspected their drinking water was contaminated after a higher than normal number of rare forms of cancer and thyroid disease started appearing in and around the St. Gobain factory there. The contaminant is perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA. It's used to make Teflon at that St. Gobain plant. It has been linked to cancers and other illnesses. On Monday, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that municipal landfills in Hoosick Falls and nearby Petersburg and Berlin could potentially be designated as state Superfund sites, in addition to the St. Gobain factory, which has already received that designation. They want the federal government now to step in and help with cleanup there. But at a state Senate hearing yesterday in Hoosick Falls, residents said the state waited too long to warn them about contaminated water.
The village, municipality, New York State Department of Health, and EPA all need to be held accountable for the 18 months that could have made a difference to so many people.
That's Kathy Lingerer. She's a resident of Hoosick Falls, testifying yesterday. For more on what it will take to clean up the water in Hoosick Falls, all that contamination, and make the residents well, John Parker, director of legal programs at Riverkeeper. His organization will be testifying in Albany next week. John, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, this is a story that we've been following, John, including a conversation I had way back in February with a guy named Michael Hickey. He's a Hoosick Falls resident who tested the water himself to convince authorities that it was contaminated. Do we have a situation here where state and federal authorities have dragged their feet?
We have a problem here in that it's taken a longer time than necessary for Department of Health folks to really grapple with this, make some decisions, and move forward. I think I'd say it's not something we need to see repeated, and we need to learn the lessons of Hoosick Falls, because it's not going to be the last community. In fact, there are other communities suffering from similar water contamination crisis in the state right now.
So what is the lesson? I mean, what happened here? Was this a classic case of state authorities who don't want to spend the money or tick off a powerful company dragging their feet, or is there something else at play here?
I think it's a number of factors. I think there was disagreement in the state with respect to the magnitude of the exposure and what it means to folks. That's problematic. Ultimately, when you have a situation of such ground contamination, there are laws that are triggered that are meant to be put in place to get the funding back to do these tests. I couldn't speculate about why we wouldn't want to go that route right away. It didn't happen. However, now the blood tests and the expense can be reimbursed to the state and to the taxpayers from the local company that caused the pollution.
And so now what does it mean for the state to apply to the EPA at the federal level to get Hoosick Falls declared a Superfund site?
So the idea of managing water using the Superfund is really not the way to go. But here's simply what it means. When there is no other resort, this is the safety net. This is the last resort. You find contamination in a discrete area like around the wells here. You find that it's a threat to health, which is the part that was delayed. Then you can list it. And that's what's happened here. The EPA doesn't necessarily have to be involved. As a matter of fact, the listing is a state listing. And the listing triggers the ability to tap into what's called the Superfund, the ability to reimburse monies and get the responsible party to pay. That's what we're hoping to see here.
So there's reimbursement for people who got sick. There's reimbursement for testing. But what about cleanup? That's a whole other issue.
It is another issue, and this is the part where the idea of dealing with water contamination issues through Superfund is not smart. It takes a long time to both investigate, really assess what's there, and figure out how to clean up. These are akin to a one-off thing. This is not a standard form that you have to investigate the site. It takes a lot of time to do that. There is filtration being put in place in Hoosick. That is temporary but would become permanent. So that's a great, excellent emergency response. But getting it all out is going to take some time. It could take years.
What does it mean in this case to clean up PFOA? Is it a difficult chemical to clean up? Is it easy to clean up? And how does the EPA usually handle contamination like this?
Well, it's going to have to take a number of steps. As I indicated to you earlier, they're going to have to find the extent of the what's generally called the plume. How far did these chemicals, which rapidly move through groundwater, go? We know they're near well areas. We know that well area needs to be fully assessed. They're going to have to be pumping it out, treating that water. The interesting thing about PFOA and its sister chemical, PFOS, is that activated carbon filtration, a supercharged Brita filter, if you will, is enough to take this out. So they're going to go, they're going to have to figure out where it is in the groundwater, pump it out, treat that water so it's removed, and then they're going to have to remove what they call source materials, the actual contaminated earth itself, the dirt, the ground. It's going to have to be taken and put to a proper burial.
Complicated, it sounds like, but it also sounds like a process that's practical, that's doable. So many of these toxic waste situations, groundwater leaches everywhere, and it's almost not remediable. But this sounds like it might be able to be cleaned up.
That's the good news. The good news is they can identify the source. Some of the bad news is it actually was able to be volatilized in the air over the years. So it's a little bit more widespread than folks think. It's in the Hoosick River nearby. It's in other private drinking water wells. All of the things are going to have to be dealt with in due course. Of course, the focus has been on what the Hickey family brought to light. That is to say simply, there's a lot of these chemicals in their water. It caused health impacts to his family and others. And that's what's being dealt with right now.
John Parker, Director of Legal Programs at Riverkeeper. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.